Hey guys, it's Justin Hill here. Strap on your high heels and put on your pads because we're going drag racing. Ah, crap. She's bottomed out, guys. Play the music.
Welcome to Stan Original RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under, the podcast. The pirate ship has docked and we've already cast off one of our queens off the plank. On today's ep, I'm catching up with the first eliminated queen, Amel, who reveals who the trade of the season really is. Plus, I've got her fellow drag performer, Tommy, joining us as we unpack episode 1 of season 3. And joining me on the podcast today, I mean, Amel, why?
Hi, how are you?
I'm so good. I'm both parts equally excited and kind of like a bit like, oh no, I didn't want to talk to you so soon. You are a stellar drag queen. Anyone who has followed your career knows that you serve us those looks. Like, man, you are just an incredible queen. Tell me about how you're feeling today.
Oh my God, every emotion under the sun I am feeling today. I feel like I'm experiencing like the entire breadth of human emotion and like the entire depth of each of those emotions. I'm feeling grateful. I'm really glad that I, you know, had the opportunity to, you know, slay the world, if you will. But I'm, you know, also feeling, you know, a little bit sad and a little bit sorry, but that's okay.
One could say you're unbothered but moisturized.
All of the above. Very moisturized. I have to be because this face has to last all day. So.
Hey, I wanted to get into this episode. Would you mind talking me and walking me through what happened? Shall we take a little trip down memory lane?
Yes.
So we see the entry from the girls, and you probably give us the most memorable one that we've seen out of all of them, where you forgot your line.
Yeah.
Was it just the nerves getting on top of you?
I think it was. So, you know, that's terribly embarrassing, but, you know, these things happen.
It's like Ru said, it's like the biggest stage on the planet for drag. There's got to be some jitters that come with that. Like, you know, you sometimes do think, gosh, this is probably something you've been building up to or at least feel super excited about, right?
Yeah, I was really excited. And I think that's part of it too. I think I was like so excited. I was like, I just want to get in there. And I was too excited about like getting in there and, you know, not excited enough about, you know, using my brain to remember the words that was to come out of my mouth.
Babe, you were using all the other parts of your body. It was like your brain.
I have no idea which parts. I was.
Hey, one thing I noticed too about the entry looks for this season is there are no cheap wigs on season 3.
That is right. There was some ivories, like discuss the way that was solid too. Like you could belt that at the ground and it would stay pristine.
I think Gabriella's was it as well? Was that? Oh
my God. Do you know what? When she first walked in, I need glasses desperately, but I was wearing my contacts that are like aren't quite a strong enough prescription. But she walked in and I like looked and I was like, is she wearing rainbow dreadlocks? And I was like, am I going to have to cancel someone like live on TV? But happily, no, it wasn't dreadlocks. But like I looked at first and I was like, oh my God.
You're like, wait a minute. Am I going to have to step up? Is this going to have a totally different vibe to it? Or then you were like, it's wool. It's okay.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I was terrified for a moment though because I'm a big Gabriella fan and I was like, if I have to, you know, like return my Stan card now, I'm going to be devastated. But everything was fine.
I mean, all the other wigs were great. That probably wouldn't really classify. It was more arts and crafts, but that's totally okay. We also find out that Ivana is Anita's husband. So that's going to be interesting. I feel like that maybe might play out a little bit later on in the season. There was a bit of chatter about that. Was that kind of something that was well known among the group or was it kind of a surprise to everyone?
I knew, but I, you know, I had done my research. Nancy drawing for weeks. Yeah. Of course, but Wait, what's it? Do you know what? I think something that we discovered was that so many people on that season were like married or in like long-term relationships. Not necessarily with kids. I think
Really?
it was like maybe like me and one other girl who was single. I can't remember. Like it was like max three who were single, I think.
Oh, so it was like the single girlies were like sort of like a
Yeah.
minority in the group.
Well and truly.
Now, I noticed that you said were you using that in a past tense for any particular reason, or are you still
Yeah.
sort of footloose and fancy free?
All of the above.
I think everyone's going to be excited to hear that.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see, won't we?
Because the funny thing is, if we can fast forward to the workroom, we've got Flora and Isis sizing everyone up, but then yourself and Hollywood figuring out who the trade were, and you name dropped Flora, but I feel like perhaps you could have included yourself in that.
Thank you. I'm inclined to agree, but I didn't want to sound out myself on television. I think maybe I should have sounded a bit more out myself. I might have lasted a bit longer.
Were there any other people that you probably, as the episode went on, that you were like, oh, maybe you? Because this is the thing. Sometimes with trade, it's not always like initially, identifiable. Sometimes you might get like a vibe off someone, or you might like be like, oh, you're like, there's something mysterious about you. Or was it just floor?
Now. Nothing. And when I had that conversation with Holly, I was like looking around and I was like maybe Flora, I don't know. And Holly was like, no one. And I think she was right.
Fair enough. I mean, look, if the trade of the season is talking about who is the trade, then there's obviously the answer right there.
Maybe so.
So you get to meet Rue, who is just looking like a vision in tartan, and the song, it's a song challenge, a dancing challenge to Mardi Gras Pride. And it's going to be a mashup of Super Queen and CeCe That Walk. So when you hear those words, you have to write a verse and do choreography. What's the first thing that goes through your mind? Because I ask that because like you don't know each other that well, and so you've all of a sudden got to go into the scenario that we saw where you're like, who's the choreographer? Who's and these things you may have picked up on as the episodes went along, but you were straight into it. It was almost like Snatch Game coming along so quickly in the first season. This was a choreography challenge and a dance challenge and a singing challenge that just came straight up. So what's your first feelings?
I was so excited because I just wanted to write, like one of the things that I most wanted to do was write a verse. And so I'm so glad that I got to do that. My mind had not even like begun to think about choreo and like group dynamics or any of that. I was just like, yay, verse. And so that was exciting. And then it did slowly dawn on me being like, I hate dancing. I don't want to do that shit. And then I thought I don't know who's going to do it. I kind of predicted that it might be Isis because the bitch can dance. And so I was, surprised when Ivana, really started to make it happen. But I feel like we got there in the end.
But
We
also too, it
definitely
could
got there.
be a str it also could be a strategic thing, perhaps, that Isis was like pulling back because she's like, I don't want to show my cards too soon. There could be another two or three challenges like this. So I guess having Ivana step in. Another thing that I noticed when you were doing that on the main stage when you get to your performance, Ashley having issues with her outfit again, like and it was kind of like all episode. And I get that she was so upset and embarrassed about it because when you're a polished queen, you kind of think, oh, I don't want my bum hanging out. I don't want my nipples hanging out, and but what I found interesting was is that she didn't take the pasties. Were you there for any of that conversation?
I didn't see that conversation happen, but the second that we, got off stage, she was like, "I'm in the bottom. My nipples were out the whole time," and so I, when I heard that, because I finished performing and I was like, "That was fine. I think I did enough. I think it should be okay." So when I heard that Ashley was, in the bottom, I was like, "Great! It's Ashley. It's Ivory. I'm gonna be fine." Alas, that was not the case. But what was the question? Nipples. I didn't see
Nipples.
it happen, but I'm glad that she didn't take the advice of whoever Because I feel like it made for, you know, good TV. So.
Absolutely. We get into the looks, and a few honourable mentions are Isis's first, she's first out with that beautiful message of the pink triangle on her cape, which if people don't know, the pink triangle was used in concentration camps to identify gay people and then reclaimed in the 70s and 80s. And we had Ashley in a Vivian Westwood inspired outfit, Ivory saying she looked like she'd been c***ed by a unicorn. But then your look was also, I feel like we could sit down and talk about your look, you know, for quite a while, because you had this beautiful ombre rainbow outfit with the matching gloves and this message on the front of lifetimes are not what they used to be. And I feel like there's a very clear message behind that. What is it that you were hoping to get across to the audience?
Yeah, so that was that's a work by an artist called David McDermott, who did all of his work sort of during the AIDS crisis, and all of his work about that as well. And when I knew that it was a rainbow runway, I was like, because I hate wearing rainbow, I hate it. And I couldn't think about what to wear or what to do. But then I thought, if I'm going to do a rainbow, I'm going to do a message, and I'm going to do something that I wouldn't usually do and just go rainbow. And so it was, it was really special to be able to bring that message. I think I read something the other day that said something to the effect of like Sydney has almost eradicated HIV transmission, which is really exciting.
Wow.
And so I think at the time that the art was created, and obviously saying lifetimes are not what they used to be, was a very sort of pessimistic, assessment of
right.
the world at the time. And I think, If you think about it now, I mean, with the news that we're coming close to eradicating HIV transmission, lifetimes aren't what they used to be.
Interesting, because then that means that yours and Isis's costumes had a very similar theme, because you were taking traditionally negative messages and putting a positive spin on them.
Yes. Yeah. So, I think it was really sort of like acknowledge that history, but also acknowledge that there's a lot more, positivity and exciting, good stuff to look forward to.
I've been doing a little bit of Nancy Drewing myself, right? And I have a question for you. Do you remember the video that you posted on Instagram of you in the cow outfit? You remember that video? Are they the same shoes that you're wearing in that video as to what you're...
That is very Nancy Drew. They are not the same shoe, because the shoes that I wore in the cow look, I actually do know what it was, last year's premiere after party Universal, I wore the cow shoes, I tripped down the stairs and I broke the heel off. Horrifying. And so I had to get a new pair of red pumps, which are very similar but not identical.
Oh, I thought I'd like solved a Drag Race mystery then. I thought it was going to be a good one, but that's okay. Hey, we talk about some of the girls get the critiques. We've got Gabriella with her wacky style, Floor giving us a bit of a Valentina moment, and then I want you to talk me through like what that feeling is like. I mean, I get, because the thing is, it's not a negative thing. It's always, sometimes the best thing that can actually happen to a queen is to be the first out. You make the biggest, best first impression and you are a star. But how do you feel about sort of like leaving the competition at that point?
I mean, like you said, it's definitely better to leave first than perhaps second or third. So sorry to those girls, couldn't be me. and I think I want to sort of live my Kelly Mantle fantasy. You know, she was first out and she is like the best drag queen of all time. So I'm hoping that I, get to sort of be the Kelly Mantle of Drag Race Down Under.
Well, it's been so great to see you on this show. I think you made such a lasting impression. Forever, you will be known as a Rue girl. And I am so proud to have one of our Sydney Warang queens representing us. And you really did it to a very high standard. So we're very proud of you. And I can't wait to see where this journey takes you. Thank you so much for chatting to me today.
Thank you. Much love.
And joining me for episode one is none other than Tommy. Tommy, here we are, another season
here we
of
are.
Drag Race
oh
Down
my
Under.
Gosh. I'm actually so bloody excited, I have to say, Justin. I've been hanging out for this since, I don't know, since they first announced, well, before they announced the cast, since they announced the auditions last year.
I know. And I feel like, I don't know about you, but I just feel immensely proud of our girls. Like, we're showing the rest of the world how great drag performers are from all aspects, but particularly from Australia and New Zealand. Do you have that sense of pride when you see the queens?
Yes, it's putting Australia on the map. And I think it's really opening doors for a lot of the queens, but also recognizing that Sydney, Melbourne, Auckland, the major cities, Adelaide, have some of the best drag in the world. I mean, I've spent a lot of time traveling the last year, going to other cities, going to lots of prides. And I have to say, Australian drag is some of the best.
I feel like maybe you could be like an unofficial scout for Stan to like scout out the next season's drag queens maybe and be like, yes.
Absolutely. I think there's a queen. She goes by the name of Tommy. I think she needs to be on that list.
I've seen her. I'm familiar with her work. I completely agree with you. Now, let's get into this first episode. I feel like the first thing that I wanted to touch on was it's very interesting to see that we are already getting our roles of the queens in the show. We are getting a villain from Floor. We're getting a front runner from Holly. We're getting the underdog from Ivory, comedy queen from Gabriella. Like, you know, it's sometimes I feel like in the other seasons, it takes a long time to figure out who those people are, but our girls have just shimmied quite comfortably into those roles. Would you agree?
Yes and no. I think we've only seen one episode, right, Justin? So we've seen what we think they're going to be casted into, but who knows? They might flip the switch and in the next episode, you know, Ivory's the villain. I really couldn't say it for sure, but can we unpack for a second the Floor villain narrative that's happening? Because I feel like at the moment it's what I got out of this episode, and they're going to kill me for saying this. It was a bit like Hollywood and Floor were the evil stepsisters to Ivory Glaze in that episode, the way I saw it coming together.
For
right?
Sure.
Like, the ugly stepsister in the moment, poor Ivory. And the other two are like, we hope she fails. I just got that vibe from the edit.
I got that vibe too. And I feel like that's why, you know, and you could be right, completely change up for the next episode. But I definitely got that as well. And I feel like now that you've said that, maybe that will be the case. Maybe we'll see a complete turnaround, which we have seen before as well. I just think it was so great to see so many clear personalities coming from the girls. And they don't always have to be, 100%. You know, really nice or lovely. They can be sassy and camp and, you know, bitchy and stuff like that.
A lot of the characters, well, the characters, I should say, the queens were really well rounded. Like, we saw, you know, a bit of a shady side to Ashley Madison. Then we saw really sad, like, you know, she was quite upset about her performance. But then also, she gave some great one-liners in her confessionals as well. I mean, I would love to see now, you know, a Floor Hollywood lip sync for your life towards the end of the season, knowing that they're kind
that's
of.
That's the one I want to keep an eye out for sure. I'm curious, as a, you know, kind of like well-renowned drag queen and performer yourself, when you look at someone like Ashley, who had so many costume, challenges from the entry looks, you know, with her pants falling down to the double, you know, the nipples coming out in the performance. And then again,
slip,
Vivian
yes,
Westwood,
like, Jackson.
You know, yeah. So Nipplegate, as I think they were calling it on the show. How do you handle a situation like that when you do have, you know, kind of like your costume not behaving with you as a performer yourself?
I don't have that problem, Justin. Joke. You know, it happens all the time, particularly when you're wearing awkward, uncomfortable costumes that aren't really designed to move in. The first rule of thumb is don't wear something like that if you can't move in it. And second of all, some of these things are unpredictable. And when that happens, I have fun with it. I make fun of it. And I kind of make it part of the performance as much as possible.
So you'd all be tits out for the boys.
Yes, I'd be shimmering all over the stage. But I don't know if RuPaul would appreciate that. But look, as we saw, Ashley did have the opportunity to put the nipple covers over. And all I have one thing to say is I hope to God Ashley Madison is selling nipple covers off the back of his first episode.
I really hope so. Why do you think she didn't take the pasties? I know she said she could have just like, you know, like she was going to put her arms up, not as high, but like, I feel like what RuPaul was trying to say is when the universe says something to you and it happens a few times, then maybe you should listen. But do you
Why
think that there
you?
Was another reason that she didn't take them?
To me, I think it was the nerves. I think, and I can't speak for Ashley directly and she'll kill me for saying this, but I think it's a pride thing as well. She was assuming, no, it's not going to happen on stage. I'm a professional queen and Ashley's a seasoned showgirl. You know, she knows what she's doing. She may not be performing at the clubs every weekend, but she has looks galore. She knows how to hire queens. She knows what a good queen does and what a good queen looks like. So it's not like she's one of the juniors that's only been doing drag for a year. I mean, she looks 20, so she could have been doing drag for a year. But I think she's one of the seasoned queens. So I think this was just an abnormal moment for Ashley, let's hope.
Do you know what disappointed me about the whole situation was I went back and I watched the episode a couple of times. And when I went back, I was like, Ashley's looks were amazing, like very polished looks, great, mm-hmm. you know, thought put into them. And it is hard to look beyond them when you see something like that. And I don't know why we as audiences get so hung up on that. And maybe we shouldn't, you know, maybe we should learn to just like ignore it because it's I'm glad she didn't go home because I was disappointed for her that it overshadowed what were some really great looks.
Look, I agree. I also think we have to consider this is the Drag Olympics. This is supposed to be the best of the best drag queens competing. And like anything, these are small slip-ups that have a detrimental impact to what could be putting you on the bottom, right? I think the funniest moment is seeing Ashley's eyelash fall off, considering the fact that she makes her own and sells her own eyelashes. So her own eyelash fell off. I think that's the part we weren't talking about.
It's Ash and the Lash. I feel like that should be like her song coming up. She needs to release that as a song. Another thing that stood out for me, actually two other things. The first was in that group performance. I mean, there are a lot of challenges. Before, when I was speaking with Amel, she pointed out very rightly so that everyone had very big costumes, which you can't preempt when you're planning and packing for a show like this. But that stage is tiny. So anyone who has ever spoken to any of the queens on Drag Race Down Under, they'll know it's literally like step, step, and you're at the end. So when you've got that many queens with huge costumes, a lot of choreography can't be done. What were your thoughts on it?
Look, I acknowledge that as well. I think still they could have been done more with their hands. It did feel very
restricted.
Yeah, but it did feel like a lot of the queens was their first time performing. They looked like deers in headlights. So I think, look, with limited movement, it's all about the facial expressions as well. Smile, look like you're having a good time, even if you're shitting yourself inside, right? I have a habit of resting bitch face, so I know what that's like. But I completely agree. I just think, work with your situation. I mean, there's been many occasions where I would say all those queens have been on very tiny shoebox stages. You know, you've seen the stages at like Stonewall or other venues, you know, Poof Doof upstairs, not a big stage, but the queens managed to make it work, right? So use your environment to an advantage. I actually prefer a small stage. It means I have to move less.
True. You can just do a park and bark, as Hannah Condor would say. But also, I've also got to point out, you might say that you have resting bitch face, but to be fair, you had yours stitched on. So
that's true. Well, there's only so much you can do to smile. But girls, I don't know any other girl in the workroom that has had a facelift. So I think on their occasion, they can't get away with this one.
Now, finally, before we wrap up over this episode, I wanted to talk to you about something that really stood out to me. So, if anyone is listening or watching this, I want you to go back to the moment that Gabriella comes out onto the main stage in her outfit, because there's a scene where we have the delicious pit crew behind her, who I've got to say are some very hunky looking dudes this year. But when I was rewinding it and watching it for work purposes only, I did notice, and I don't know if anyone else picked this up, there is some weird stuffing going on of the underwear on the boys this year. There are some strange shapes coming out of that. You see your face. You're going to have to go back and watch it. I was like, they don't look like natural shapes. I don't know if maybe they were trying to cover up and do the old bread trick of like what was in there, and then maybe it was more like a piece of Turkish toast as opposed to like a slice of bread. But there was, it's just, I promise you, go back and watch it. There's some very unusual shapes going on there.
Well, Justin, I haven't slept with this pit crew, so I can't say for certain, but maybe they're, you know, maybe they have a certain sniff down there, and it was too obvious, so we had to kind of blur it out. It's the Barbie effect a little bit. I couldn't say, but I'll tell you what, I'll be zooming back in for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I promise you, go back and watch it. Now, if people want to check out your chat with Amel, where you sit down and talk queen to queen, where can we see it?
On all the good social media channels. So that's YouTube Shorts, TikTok, and Instagram. It's Instagram at tommy.dragqueen. At TikTok, it's at tommy.queen. And also you can check it on Stan's channels. We'll have your content drop every Monday at around 5 o'clock.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me today. I agree. I can't wait to see how this season pans out. I think we're in for a good one. And I will catch up with you very soon.
Thanks, Justin. It was great to spill the tea.
Can someone please DM me on Instagram at @just_heel and let me know exactly what was going on with the pit crew's little speedos there? I mean, it was a mystery. It needs to be solved. Please, someone get on that ASAP. This season in the podcast, I'm going to be joined by some of my favourite people and fellow RuPaul's Drag Race lovers. Plus, as always, I'll be unpacking the episode with the eliminated queen each week, gagging, gooping, kicking, and all those other words that we like to use in our little Drag Race family. Catch RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under exclusively on Stan every Friday, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on the Listener app so you don't miss a minute of the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. I'm Justin Hill, and I'll see you next Monday with our second eliminated queen. Until then, look over there! We'll